بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما رواه أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت، فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت، ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم جاره، ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم ضيفه. Imam Bukhari has related this narration, and it's been related by a number of other hadith masters as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith gives a very simple message. The Prophet of Allah, Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is how he starts it. He says, whoever believes in Allah and the last day, whoever believes in Allah and the last day, which means that everything in between is also included, the prophets and the messengers, a true believer, whoever believes in Allah and the last day, then he should speak good. He should say something that is virtuous and good. Otherwise, he should stay silent. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said again, whoever believes in Allah and the last day should honor his neighbor. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam again said, whoever believes in Allah and the last day, he should honor his guest. So these are three qualities, characteristics that are being spoken about. If you look the world over about these three things, you will find that there will be different individuals, groups of people or certain cultures that are better at certain things than others. Because to say a good word and to refrain from saying something bad, to honor your guest and to honor your neighbor, is not necessarily only an Islamic thing to do. It is something that there are certain cultures in the world who have these things even without being Muslim. Because to say something good is a basic human trait. That there are good people in the world who sometimes don't even have a belief, but they prefer that they want to say good and they want to abstain from bad. They don't want to be rude to anybody. They don't swear. They don't curse people. And they stay good like this. And yet there are people who are in faith who don't do this, who say, who insult, who are insulting and so on. So it's a very basic human demand. It's a praiseworthy trait. It goes into akhlaq. As somebody said, that anything else, when you have too much of it, if you look at the rule of and principle of supply and demand, as you witness, when you have too much of something, the cost of it goes down. The value of it diminishes because it's so easily available. But there's one thing in the world, the more that you have of it, the more you have of it, the more valuable it becomes. And that is akhlaq and good character. So the more akhlaq and good character you have in every sense and in every situation that you can, the value will grow. So in this case, it's a different equation. These are all parts of akhlaq and character, which are universal human traits, or should be human traits. But this is what religion comes down to tell us and to remind us. Because there are people, there are cultures who are not very good at being hospitable. As, for example, it mentions in the Quran that Musa alayhi salam and Khadir alayhi salam, as they continued their journey together, their journey of knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put them together for, when they got to a place which the place's name is not mentioned in the Quran. It just says, فَأَتَيَا أَهْلَ قَرْيَةٍ اسْتَطْعَمَا أَهْلَهَا فَانْطَلَقَا حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَيَا عَلَى قَرْيَةٍ. And then they continued until they came to a dwelling, a people, a village, a town. Certain individuals, istat'ama ahlaha, give us some food, be hospitable to us. Feed us, we are musafirin, we're travelers. فَأَبَوْا أَن يُضَيِّفُوهُمَا. They refused to be hospitable. They refused to host them. The Mufassirin write here that this is most likely a place called Antakya, which today is called Antioch in Egypt. In Turkey, southern Turkey, towards the Syrian border. I'm sure people must have changed by now. In fact, it says that some people came from this area. They came to Hajjaj ibn Yusuf when he was adding dots to the Quranic script, because the earliest Quranic script, the Uthmani script, did not have dots. They had the ability to read without dots, which means the ba, ta, and tha would be very difficult for us to differentiate. Ha, kha, and jim. We wouldn't be able to distinguish, because the way we distinguish is between with dots. In the early days in time, Uthman, his original script, as is in his Quran, in his Mus'haf, in Tashkent, and in the Topkapi Palace, the Quran is without dots. Forget fatha, kasra, and dhamma, and vowels. There's no dots. So when Hajjaj ibn Yusuf is reported to be the first one to add these dots to facilitate for the foreigners that were entering Islam and who couldn't read Arabic like this, who couldn't read Arabic without the dots, Allah knows best, but that is the opinion. So he says that the people of this area came and requested to him that instead of adding the dot at the bottom of the ba, فَأَبَوْا أَن يُضَيِّفُهُمَا, which means they refused. Add the two dots at the top instead. It's the same word. But instead of abaw, it becomes فَأَتَوْا, which means, and they did. They were hospitable. They did come forth with their hospitality. But he refuses that I can't make a change in the Quran. As a zalim he was, he still refused to do this. Because he had some principles at least. You can't mess with the words of Allah. Anyway, that's a side point. The point is that this community was considered to be inhospitable to Musa alayhi salam and Khadir alayhi salam. And thus you get people like this. You go to different places, whether they're Muslim or non-Muslim, they will host you. Because they see you as a musafir, as long as you don't show, you know, any kind of rudeness to them. And yet there's people who don't do that. So these are human traits. But what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us and reminding us, that if you believe in Allah and the last day, then even if you come from a culture in which you'd speak very rudely, in which it's not looked down upon to make ghibah of people, in which you're quite used to swearing, because you were brought up like this, you know, in the inner cities of certain, you know, major cities, among the ruffians and the gangs and things like that. You're a believer, you should drop all of this. Because as a believer who believes in Allah and the last day, this is a universal thing that you have to adopt as a Muslim, as a believer. And then you'll be rewarded for this. So then the intention is for the deen of Islam, that you accept all of these things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're rewarded for your good traits and your natural character. So if we're from a culture who are not very hospitable, we have to go out of our way to be hospitable. If we're not from a culture that requests their that respects their neighbors, then we must respect our neighbors. We must honor them. And there's different degrees of honor. If they're also Muslim, then they have a double honor that we have to fulfill. A double entitlement. And if they're related to you, then there's a third entitlement. Subhanallah. Because they've got this additional entitlement that your neighbor is a fellow person in faith, and he's your relative, and thus it becomes even more necessary, because you'll have more in common things to share. So thus you must be even more respectable and honorable. And even if they're not your relatives, and neither are they Muslim, you still have to have some form of honor, because at the end of the day, you have been chosen to live next to this person. Which is an extremely important, because sometimes your neighbor is more important than a relative of yours that lives in another city. Because this is the person who will see your house burn first, and Allah prevent, if something happens to your house. You need this kind of interaction between them that is based on that. There's a level of trust. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that one of the worst forms of zina is that you fornicate with your neighbor's wife. He's saying to the men, because there's supposed to be an element of trust, and you totally betrayed that trust and went to an extreme in that level. So these are the things that we need to do for the sake of Islam. It doesn't matter what kind of culture we're from, or upbringing we've had, or whatever we've been doing until now. This is what the Prophet ﷺ is telling us, that if you really and truly believe in Allah and the last day, in a kamil iman, with kamil iman, then these are the things that will improve your iman. Whoever says good or stays silent. Saying good includes a vast number of things. Everything up to giving da'wah in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, that is one of the best forms of speech. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Who is there better in speech than the one who invites to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That is the most superior work that you can do in that sense. However, these things are needed to complete that. Because that is part of good akhlaq. And just by statement, then you've got your actions. You could give somebody da'wah with your words, but then when they see your actions and it's not the same as your words, then it's a big letdown. That's why many ulama, they say that people steal from the behavior of others more than they take from the words that the others say. Ajib statement. You would more automatically, without realizing, take and adopt somebody else's behavior that you see them do than what you would take by just listening to them. Ajib. I could be saying whatever I want to you. You're hearing my words. But you will more follow what I do than what I say. Because that's the way humans work. That's the human psyche. So actions are extremely important. Those, the two that were mentioned, so these are all complementary. Say a good word or remain silent. That's why Imam Ghazali, he mentioned something in a very interesting way. He said, look, if you can't help saying bad things, then you know what? Go to sleep. Sleep. Because sleep is neutral. Neither are you being aggressive to anybody and neither are you benefiting in any way. لَيْسَ لَكْ وَلَا عَلَيْكْ. Neither is it a burden upon you and neither are you able to harm anybody. So now some people, they think, okay, that's a good idea. They're lazy, they want to go to sleep. Okay, I'll go to sleep. Then he tells you, but what? The sleep is the sister of death. And what good is there in life that is full of death, that is full of sleep? So essentially the conclusion is that try your best to say something which is good and virtuous. It's about abstaining and being careful about what we say. That's why I'm going to read to you, I'm going to mention just a few things about each of these, because each one of these is very comprehensive. When it comes to hospitality, people are very confused about what level of hospitality is necessary. And the thing is that the ulama have actually discussed this in somewhat detail to guide us as to what kind of hospitality. First and foremost, there's a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ad-diyafatu thalathatu ayyam." Hospitality, mehman nawazi, mehmani, is for 3 days. So being a guest at somebody's house, hosting them, this is generally done for 3 days. This is the limit. وَجَائِزَتُهُ يَوْمٌ وَلَيْلَةٌ. But special arrangement for this guest is for 1 day and 1 night. So the Prophet ﷺ said, جَائِزَتُهُ يَوْمٌ وَلَيْلَةٌ وَالضِّيَافَةُ ثَلَاثَةُ أَيَّامٌ. What the ulama have taken from this, the majority, is that when your guest comes the first day, you have to go all out the first day. You cook extra, you cook special, you make ihtimam, you make an extra effort to really do everything for them. Not just cooking, but presentation, the way things look. You know, you make it clean and you're at your best in terms of trying to be hospitable, making them feel welcome. The other 2 days, then you give them whatever you normally eat. And then he said, after that it's sadaqah. Which means that the guest should not be remaining for more than 3 days. Now this is not talking about your brother who comes. This is his house. You'll tell your brother, yeah, aapka ghar hai. This is your house. Treat it like your house. You tell them it's your house, but you wish they were in their own house. That's the problem with it. You tell them, treat this like your house, but then you wish they were in their house. In their house, not in your house. Right? But the whole point of it is that generally when you go, do not... And of course, if you have a very free relationship with somebody, it's your sister's house, your brother's house, your father's house, your son's house, some close friend's house you're going to, and they don't mind you staying for even 2 months, of course, no problem. But generally, this is talking about the mehman nawazi that we hardly do. This is talking about the hospitality that we hardly do, which is for a stranger. How many of us have hosted a stranger in our house that is not relatives or that hasn't been our friend for a while? How many of us can say we've done this? That's the thing to ask ourselves. This is what this is talking about. In the early days of the Arabs, hospitality was wajib, a social wajib. Later, of course, it's different. In fact, some ulama say that in a village it should still be necessary because there's no hotels around. You know, koi gaon mein pahunch gaya, right? They have to be hospitable to this musafir because there's no hotels. Whereas in a city, okay, there's hotels, khalas, no problem. You can stay in a hotel. There's no need to impose yourself on somebody. But generally the adab, as the Prophet ﷺ told us, is one day, one night, you go all out. The second and third day, then after that, it's whatever you have. Which we can't do, and this is the why we can't do mehman nawazi. When we have to invite somebody to our house, we have to have a special meal. And the wife, they have to do a very special effort. It's never like, come to my house and just eat whatever I have. That is just seen as very offensive. And that's wrong. The real diafa is that if you know from before somebody's coming, okay, you make that effort. But otherwise, invite people to your house just like that and eat whatever dal there's there, khalas, let's eat that. There's only been one house in my life that I've been to and it was like this. One of the ulama in one madrasa that I stayed in for a while, he invited me to his house. The next day, I went there and he gave me literally just roti and there was one dish. A simple, I don't know, keema and peas. Mince and peas, that's it. And I did think for a while, subhanAllah, he hasn't made any ihtimam. But then I realized this is an alim. He's just making it easy. He wants to invite me. Maybe he doesn't have any other means of doing a big lavish da'wah. A big lavish invitation. Khalas, do this. I was in Hajj. I was with this alim from Medina Munawwara. And he said the same thing. He said that you guys in the West, you don't host anybody. He said, nearly every day, I take a few people from the masjid and I feed them at my house. Nearly every day, I take a few people and I feed them at my house. So would you feed them? Whatever's there, basic food, I feed them. This is what you call at'im al-ta'am, feeding people. There are a few people in our community, mashallah, who are like that. They will have an invitation in their house, somebody's coming, they'll look for in the masjid, come on, brothers, come, you know, they'll ask a few people to come with them. But the majority of us only do this on a formal setting, where it's well planned and so on. Mashallah, we do have a few families who are very open in their da'wats. But this is something we should do for strangers. Let us see in the next year, can we host a stranger? Of course, be careful, but you know, we do live in different times, right? There are different situations. But this is what you call, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying. For yukrim dhaifa, somebody is there, khalas, you give him some hospitality. When it comes to the neighbor, subhanallah, there's one story that's related about this pious individual. He was complaining about mice in his house. He got sick and tired of them. They were just causing so much. And you know, when you have a mice infestation, you know what happens. They were totally driving him mad. He asked somebody, they said, "Why?" Somebody asked him, "What's wrong with you? Just get a cat. Get a cat, it'll take care of all of this." You know what he said? He said, "The only thing I fear with getting a cat is that the mice will hear the sound of the cat and they will run to the neighbor's house and cause problems there. And I don't want to be bad with my neighbors." Ajeeb level of ihsan, ajeeb level of ikram of your neighbors. Ajeeb. I mean, that's something I don't know if we can ever reach. We think, "Bas, gone from our house, khalas, I don't care where it goes, just don't come to my house." Allahu Akbar. So, this is the thought pattern. When a person takes his hadith to the limit and he knows that Allah is watching him, he wants to do this. This is the kind of thought that will come into your mind. This is the kind of thought that will come into your mind for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ghazali, he mentions that the tongue, out of all of the hawas, and out of all of the touch, the smell, the sight that we have, out of these five senses, the tongue is the most critical. It is the thing that can encompass, grasp, even the imagined things. With the eyes, you can only see things that are there. But with your tongue, you can even explain things that are just imaginary. It has a major scope. It has a very far reach. صَغِيرٌ جِرْمُهُ عَظِيمٌ جُرْمُهُ, he says. صَغِيرٌ جِرْمُهُ عَظِيمٌ جُرْمُهُ. So small in body. The tongue is so small, but so big in its jurm and its violence and its aggression that it creates. That's the problem with the tongue. And the thing about the tongue, as the ulama explain, is that if you don't let your heart control your tongue, and you allow your tongue to just let it go, then the shaitan rides your tongue. Because your heart is no longer, you've disassociated your heart. It's in free drive, it's not in gear. The shaitan now becomes a gear and takes it where it wants. That's why it says that sometimes a person speaks a word that he no longer thinks is even abusive anymore. Because he's so used to saying bad things and criticism and ghibah and making fun of people and making people laugh by speaking about people, that he eventually will say something which will write him as a kadhab according to Allah. A blatant liar. A flagrant liar. That's what he will become written as in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes with a single word that he says, it will take him this many years down into the hellfire because of one word, because of the impact that this word had on others. And you know, this is a difficulty. And I'm confessing it's a difficulty. We say sometimes certain words, we justify them, but they hurt somebody else. And that is a very difficulty. But the thing about that is you say sorry afterwards. If you've made a mistake, we all make mistakes. At least have the decency to go and apologize and say sorry. Some people, they find it very easy to say, please forgive me. Others will never say it. They just cannot make themselves say it. They might feel it in their hearts, but they don't have the habit of saying it. Just say it a few times and you'll see you'll become habituated to doing this. It will mend the person's heart again. Just by saying, I'm sorry. It makes a big difference. When you go in and say, I'm really sorry about this. After that, you can explain in a nice way whatever you want to explain, but you have to say sorry. Very important. It mends hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to fulfill this hadith so that we can have our kamil iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the last day as it dictates, which is that say the good or stay silent. You don't have to speak. Man samata naja, whoever remained silent saved himself. Number two, be good with your neighbor. And number three, be good with your guest, honor your guest. May Allah give us the tawfiq to be true representatives of Muhammad Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this life and close to him in the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.